going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy. Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Blessings to all. This is G. Craig Lewis here again with another True Church Perspective. And you can catch us here every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. You can catch us here on your radio dial at 970 a.m. That is Heaven 97 in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, as well as streaming live on the internet at true-church.org. And I thank God because we just love the work of the Lord and doing the work of the Lord. And I just believe it's very important and it's vital in this hour that we live in, because I believe we are up on the last few hours of our existence here on planet Earth. You know, I'm encouraged by the return of Jesus Christ. I see all of the problems that are going on and all of the circumstances and situations that have befallen American society because of our lack of believing in God, our lack of prayer, our lack of believing in the one true living God, and our lack of Christian values, and America just going down the tubes year after year, just slowly embracing paganism and satanic activity. And it has put us on a crash course to the end. And I'm telling you, if your faith and confidence is in this world, if your faith and confidence is in men, if your faith and confidence is in government, then you're going to be let down severely, because our faith, our trust, our hope has to be in Jesus. And that is the great hope of his return and him rescuing us out of here. That, you know, that is a major problem with us, because a lot of people have gotten so comfortable here on earth. They don't want Jesus to come back because they're enjoying their fleshly desires too much. But I tell you something, as I deal with my own children and my own two teenagers, when I deal with my children and see what they have to endure in their school systems with teachers and just different things that they have to fight, even computers and all the different things, television that the enemy has crept in through and targeted them with. When I see this, it just hurts my heart to imagine how bad it's really going to get. And I tell you, this is not my home. The world is not my home. It's almost like a burning building. I'll go try to snatch as many people as I can out of this building. But we do know the building is burning and it is gonna burn down. There is no hope for the building. And I think that's what we need to get in our minds. And that's what you need to get a good understanding for. There is no hope for this world. The only hope for a few individuals is them conforming to the plan of God, accepting God into their hearts and walking in his way, so that when he returns, you can go back with him. That's the only hope. And that's only for a few, because the Bible tells us that straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there will be that will find it. But for some reason, we see the big crowds and we see all the people and we hear all the movie stars and everyone saying that, you know, thank Jesus, thank God, and God is the head of my life. And we have been bamboozled to believe that there's going to be a whole bunch of folks going and that are going to make it in. But that is not according to the truth of the word. The word tells us that straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there will be that will find it. So like I said, it's a burning building, and the building is burning down. Get that in your mind right now, because there should be alarms. You know, when there's a fire, you know, I live right around the corner from a fire station, and I'm telling you, you know, when you're coming out of our gate in our community, and you're going up there by this fire station, you don't want to go during a time when the alarm is going off, because when the alarm is going off, those guys are flying out of there trying to get to the fire, and they're trying to get to the fire for one reason only, and that is to save people. They want to save the people, and that is where we need to be right now. There should be an alarm going off in your spirit that is causing you to want to save people. And when you are in the flesh, when you are in sin, when you are living a lascivious lifestyle, you're not concerned about the well-being of your fellow brother. And when I say brother, I'm talking about believers as a whole. You're not concerned about them. Then you don't hear the alarm. And because you don't hear the alarm, you may be burned in the building with the rest of them. So we have to make sure we understand that there is no hope for this world. Only hope for a few individuals that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal savior. And I say that so that you will get uncomfortable, because that is a problem. We are comfortable and we have sat back and crossed our legs and sipped cappuccino and, you know, just living high on the hog now. And we have progressive churches and progressive pastors that, you know, don't have to deal with the gifts of God. They just deal with making you feel better and making you feel good and, oh, honey, and oh, honey, child, and just, you know, a bunch of foolishness, when somebody should be saying, hey, y'all, do y'all hear this alarm? There is an alarm going off. This alarm should make us put on the uniform. I know if you ever watch TV and you've seen the firemen, when the alarm goes off, they'll be sitting down, reading newspapers, whatever. Then they'll just jump up and they'll put on the uniform real quick, slide down the pole, jump on the fire truck and head to the fire like it's nothing. And that's what we need to do. The alarm is going off. We need to get our uniform on and get in position to help someone. And this starts by accepting your call, having the gift of God operating in your life. And I just want to thank those of you that had an opportunity to come out to Arlington Bible Church. We had our first service, and you know, it was a kind of a soft opening. I didn't really mention it until Sunday of, because you know, we just kind of want to ease into it. But I just thank God for those that came out. We had wonderful, wonderful music, and the word of God went forth, and we had a powerful altar call. Many received their gifts of God and received the spiritual gifts and the spiritual awakenings of God in their hearts and different things. And God is doing a work, y'all. And I'm telling you, so if you get an opportunity, we're there at 2:30 p.m. every Sunday. So this coming Sunday, as long as God allows us, we will be there in the same location at 3806 Curry Road in Arlington, right off 287 and the Eden Curry Road exit. So make sure you come out and visit us and come and just partake. We don't have membership right now. I'm just giving a word, and we're coming together and fellowshipping right now. And it's a good time to get in on the ground floor of this move of God, because I do believe God is going to move through the Arlington Bible Church, just like he moves through many churches and many men of God all over. And I'm telling you, I believe that the spiritual gifts are vital. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about. We talked about talent and the anointing for so many weeks. Then we talked about the spiritual gifts. And last week, we talked about stirring up the gift. And there are some things that I do want to emphasize in that particular subject matter as far as stirring up the gifts. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, that is why I would remind you to stir up the gift. And it's speaking of the gift of God, the inner fire, the Holy Ghost, stirring it up inside of you. And this is to cause you to utilize this gift for the glory and honor of God. Now, let me tell you something, really. When we get our mind, and I talked about this in the first service that we had last week, I actually spoke about the gifts and awakening the gift of God in you. And there is a very important thing that we need to understand about this. When we focus on the natural and things in the natural realm, we totally forget about the power of God in operation. I'm going to tell you something. Most Christians you know, a large majority of them, they know how to get spiritual about one thing and one thing only, and that is money. When they get sick, there's nothing spiritual about being sick. They know to head to the medicine cabinet. You know, when they are hurt in a relationship or whatever, you know, there's nothing spiritual about that. Just divorce and get you somebody else. Go get somebody else, or, you know, leave the one you with, start a new relationship, like Usher said. You know, I mean, there's nothing spiritual about that. You know, when your kids are out of line and crazy, you know, there's nothing spiritual about that. You know, you just beat them, or you just ignore them and just say, well, I was bad when I was young, so I guess the thing I feared the most has come upon me. I cannot even tell you how many pastors I've heard say that about their own children. But when, you know, when these things are going on, when we are fleshly as human beings, we don't see any of this as spiritual. We don't even recognize it as spiritual. And so because we don't see it as spiritual, we don't fight it spiritually. We don't fight things spiritually. We just see it as natural, and we try to handle it in the natural. And what this does for us is this keeps the spiritual workings of God from operating and working through us, because we don't need them. We can handle it in the flesh. The only time we get spiritual, listen, we've been conditioned by the system. We've been conditioned by the Jesuit priest and the Catholic Church and the conferences and the mega pastors and the mega bishops and the big time famous celebrity preachers and bishops. The devil has placed these ministers of Satan in position to condition us to see money as spiritual and everything else as natural. What do I mean by that? Well, when the natural issues arise, when hurt and turmoil and emotional issues and mental issues and all these things, that a lot of them come from bad decisions, but even when it wasn't a bad decision, molestation and rape and different things that have happened to people haphazardly, even when these things are not your fault and they happen, we don't look at them as spiritual issues. We look at them as natural issues, so we approach them in a natural way. What does that mean? Well, that means that there's no laying on of hands and calling forth demons out of people and speaking life into people and speaking the call of God on someone and speaking a spiritual gift into someone and the gift of prophecy going forth to speak the path to someone. And, you know, these things that happen spiritually by the power of the Holy Ghost, we don't see these things in operation because the devil has infiltrated the church structure by placing priests that were ordained by Satan. Listen to me. These mega pastors and bishops and these big time folks that's rubbing shoulders with Hollywood actors and actresses and rubbing shoulders with secular performers and artists and getting on the largest platforms and all of this. The devil has placed them in position to cause people to ignore the spiritual side of things. So folks don't get spiritual until it comes to money. And that is the opposite of the way it should be. When they can't pay their bill, they on their knees. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, send somebody with some money. God, send the baby daddy, touch the baby daddy's heart. That folk get spiritual when it comes to money. Oh, I'm going to give this money because it's going to come back 100-fold. Let's see. My bill is $1,000 and all I have is $10. So if I give it an offering, 100-fold of that would be $1,000. So here, God, here's 10. Now turn it into 1,000. I mean, this is the way people are thinking. They got ATM machines on wheels, wheeling them through the audience, and people filling out their W-2 and 1099s in service. I mean, they got all of this happening because these ministers of unrighteousness, these Satan's priests, have led people into believing that God will answer money calls, but then the rest of their life has no spiritual value whatsoever. They're not talking to God about the other issues of their life. They only talking to God about money. I'm not saying that you should be broke at all. I believe being broke is the worst way to live. Don't get me wrong. But I am saying that the focus is Christ. It is Christ's salvation to save you, to bless your life in the spirit realm. This is what we're dealing with, because we're dealing with two dimensions here. We're dealing with the heavenly dimension where God is, and then we're dealing with the dimension where we are. And so we have to rightly divide which dimension each scripture is pertaining to. That's what rightly dividing the word of God is. That is what pastors and preachers are for. This is why when a group of people assemble to get understanding of the word of God, there needs to be someone that can lead that assembly. This is the way God set it up. Why? Because someone has to rightly divide the natural and the spiritual elements that appear in the word of God for each and every situation. This is what we try to do here on A True Church Perspective. We try to give you the perspective of the true church. We want you to understand what is natural and then what is spiritual. How does this apply in this dimension? How does this apply in another dimension? And this is what we're talking about even now. We cannot use church as an opportunity to just gain money and try to use God as a personal ATM machine or use him as an interest-bearing account, because that is not what this is about. Understand me, people of God. We know how to pray and get on our knees and seek God for the house and the car. We know how to walk around the car seven times and walk around the house seven times and name it and claim it and call it ours and put a picture of it on our desktop of our computer and just always look at it and God, there it is. There's my car. There's my car. And don't even have no money. And you talking about that's my Jag right there. God gonna give me the Jag. The Jag is one of the beasts near the Ark of the Covenant. And you know, try to make something spiritual out of everything that you want. And it's because it's what you want. But then when it comes to the true spiritual warfare that is going on in the spirit realm, we are not equipped. We can't fight that battle. We don't have weapons to fight in the spirit realm. And this is what I desire to do. Even with Arlington Bible Church, we had an altar call after I spoke, and many people came to the altar, and I was able to lay hands on them and speak spiritual gifts in them and speak words of prophecy on them and really charge them in the spirit realm so that they would go after God when they left that service. They would go after God and begin to cultivate and stir up the spiritual gift in them. Here's the beauty of operating in a spiritual gift. When you operate in a spiritual gift of God, God is gonna give you what you need to operate in that gift. In other words, God has your back financially. The closer you get to him, he's gonna show you ways to make your money work for you, and he's gonna bring people into your life. God knows how to give you direction for your finances and show you don't spend in this season, but save. And then in this season, okay, it's okay to spend. But right now, some things are coming in the future for this nation, so it's better if you don't spend right now. And I'm telling you, y'all, even at the first of this year, well, at the end of last year, we had, you know, me and my wife, we had a great deal on a house. You know, it was a real nice house. It's like twice the size of the house I'm in now. And we had a great deal on it. It had acreage, you know, some, you know, 6-7 acres of land. And it was just wonderful. And the price of the house was a steal. And it looked like the best investment I could have made. I mean, it was a wonderful deal. And we went in it and we walked around it and we fell in love with it. I mean, all the space and all that. I mean, it was just wonderful. And so I began to pray to God and I was like, God, I know this is you. I began to talk to people about it and, you know, financial advisors, different ones. They were like, oh, yeah, that's God. And that's where you need to put your money. And this is, yeah, oh, yeah, that's a good investment. I mean, it was good. So I began to talk to the realtor, try to work the deal out. And as I began to work the deal out, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't do it. And I said, oh, Satan, get behind me. Boy, I just got a key because I just knew it had to be the devil. But the Holy Spirit began to talk to me and said, no, there's something coming up. You don't need to invest that money in that right now because something is coming up. And lo and behold, Arlington Bible Church is here. God knew I would be starting a church. God knew that we would be in the infancy of it and it was going to cost expenses and different things out of my own pocket to get it jump started, get it going and all of that. And I would have to make investments in it, which I don't mind doing for the work of God. But God knew, and I had to be sensitive to him because he knew what he was about to do. That was over a year ago. And God had to do that. He had to slow me down and say, you don't know the future. I know the future. Now, had I made that investment that would have delayed Arlington Bible Church, that would have delayed the church, you know, because the more you delay something, the more you lay on it and don't invest in it, the more you do that, you begin to walk in disobedience almost. And God will just say, hey, well, I get somebody else. Since you don't have the faith, since you scared, since you won't obey, I'll go get somebody else to do it. And that's the way it works. So, you know, I'm the type, I want to do whatever God wants me to do. So what I did, I just turned that deal down, and the realtor thought I was crazy. My friends thought I was crazy. Folks couldn't understand. Hey, man, this is a steal. You ought to do it. You ought to just buy the house and fix it up and flip it and turn it. And I was like, God told me not to do it because God had something for me to do. And that's the way I've always been. I had to learn how to be like that. And I had to have men in my life to teach me that. But I had learned that. And so now since I've learned it, I have to walk in it. And that is what I'm preaching right now. If it wasn't for the spiritual gifting of God, if it wasn't for my intensity in following what God wants and following what his gift is giving me, or the Holy Ghost that will lead and guide you in all truth, because he sees and knows all things, and he sees and knows the future. Because I listened to that, God saved me from something that could have potentially worked against his plan for my life. Yeah, we all want a big old house, but if it's working against the plan of God, then we have to be patient, because it will come in due season if we do what God wants us to do right now. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, this scripture is so powerful on so many levels, but I'm going to use it on this level that I'm talking about. It's saying that we're walking in the flesh, but we're not fighting a flesh battle. So when we begin to talk about money, when we begin to talk about money and praying for money and desiring money and those things, you don't understand. That is a fleshly thing. That is in the natural realm. That is a flesh battle, money, because the Bible says, "Give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall what? Men give unto your bosom." You know what that means? That means men have the money. So because men have the money, it takes a natural means to get that money. Now, of course, the law of reaping and sowing comes into play, because what you give, it will be given unto you. But this doesn't mean get crazy and not be able to pay your bills and take care of your responsibility. God calls that person an infidel that doesn't take care of their family. So understand what I'm saying. There has to be a good balance in here. But men have money, and men will bless you. Men have blessed our broadcast, and God has brought the right people to bless us. It's not because I've solicited it, but it's because God has favored the work that we're doing, because we're operating in his spiritual gift. So see how it all comes together. The spiritual gift of God. God will bless those when he is pleased. And I talked about that even in the service. I talked about King Solomon. When God came and asked King Solomon, "What do you want? Do you want riches? Do you want gold?" Solomon said, "No, I want a spiritual gift." And God was like, "This has pleased me. Not only am I going to give you a spiritual gift, but I'm going to give you money, fame, and everything else that you did not ask for, because you sought after the spiritual gift of God." And that is what I'm preaching to you right now, people of God. I'm telling you, you got to desire the spiritual gift of God. But in order to get the spiritual gift of God, you need men of God that can lay their hands on you and speak the spiritual gift in you. That means they have to lay hands on you. The Bible said, "Forget not that gift that was given unto thee by the laying on of hands by the presbytery," or the leadership in the church. So here we go, y'all. You got to listen to this now. If you are in a church where the pastor's carnal and he's only talking about money and fame and who he knows and who he played golf with, and he's just talking foolishness and doesn't have a time where he takes the oil and anoints people and speaks spiritual gifts in people, cast devils out. See, because if you don't cast devils out of certain people, there'll be no room for the spiritual gift. So he's got to speak against devils and cast devils and demonic spirits out of people. Then he's got to speak the gifts of God into the people, so that when they go, they can stir it up and it can begin to operate through them. This is where the power of God and the anointing of God comes. This is where we'll begin to see tongues tongues coming forth, people speaking tongues and people speaking prophecies. And this is where we'll begin to see the sick healed and the dead raised. And we'll begin to see the crooked made straight. And we'll begin to see all of these things operating in the spirit realm when we see the spiritual gifts of God in operation. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So here we go again. This is talking about the same thing. If you focus on the natural, if you're always looking at the things in the natural, you will miss the battle. You'll stand before God and he'll say, "Why didn't you fight in the battle?" And your only answer will be, "God, I didn't even know there was a battle going on. The only battle I knew about was the battle of my money and in my checkbook and in my purse. I saw little demons tearing up my checks and messing with my money." And that's the only battle most of us in this generation know, because that's all that's being talked about in the mega conferences. They're teaching pastors how to get thousands of members, how to get on the internet and get a mailing list so that you can have money and get folks money every month, and you can sustain these large buildings and pay for that jet fuel and all these kind of things. And people are so inundated with that right now until they think church is money. Money is church. They come to church trying to find a better way to live, honey, a better way to live. And I ain't talking about a better way to live free from sin. I'm talking about a better way to live financially so I can have the nice car and the nice house. But y'all understand something. It's not about that in church. It's about the spiritual things. Can you live a better life operating through the Spirit of God? Can the Spirit of God use you to win that cousin, that uncle, that wayward husband, that stepfather? Can the Spirit of God operate through you to reach those people on your job and in your family? Can you use the spiritual gift of God? This is why it says our weapons are not carnal. We're not fighting against money demons and money imps. We're not fighting against the little money with the eyes from the Geico commercial. We ain't fighting against money. Y'all, we are fighting against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. So this is why the Bible tells us that if we get the spiritual weapons together, they can cast down these imaginations, these things we are imagining. We're imagining that our money problems is the devil, but it will cast down those imaginations. So understand me, people of God. Please hear what I'm saying. We got to get focused again on the spiritual things of God so we can truly fight the good fight in the spirit realm, and we can balance what is natural and what is spiritual. I hope this message has blessed you today, and we'll continue this again even at our 2:30 service. I'll be dealing with some of this at 2:30, so please come. 3806 Curry Road. We'll be there today at 2:30 p.m., and we're going to give you the rest of this, and let's just pray right now, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray and believe that you've given us this message for this time, God. You brought us on the radio. God, your timing is impeccable. You brought forth the radio. You bringing forth the church. You're doing all these things, God, because I believe we are on a timetable, because in another dimension, they are making plans and making ready to cross over into this dimension and do things that we've never seen before. God, I believe that the spiritual wickedness that you spoke of in that passage in Corinthians, God, I believe that it's about to come. It's about to come forth, and we're going to see the true prince and powers of the air, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, God. We're going to see these demonic manifestations and this witchcraft. God, we're going to see it. But Father, those of us that know you, we're going to sound the alarm, God, just like the firemen. We're sounding the alarm. We're putting on the uniform. And Father, we're receiving your spiritual gift. God, we're putting on the whole armor. God, we're ready for battle. And I pray right now that those that you've ordained, God, to come under this right now, I pray, God, that they would find their way to the church. They would find their way, God, somewhere where they can be spiritually gifted, be utilized in this last hour for your kingdom's glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We'll be back next week with another True Church Perspective.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis. Visit us at truth-church.org or at exministries.com. If you desire to support this ministry with your donations, please send them to P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at truth-church.org.